All right, ladies, welcome once again to your Venus and X podcast. I'm Brad Howard, and I've got John Barber on the phone. And today we're going to talk about some new beginnings. Obviously, the first Venus and X transformation and open contest just ended this past Wednesday. And really what we're going to talk about now for a lot of people, they're going to be getting into an area of life that they haven't got into in a while, and that's going to be a maintenance eating. So we're going to talk about that. It's a little bit different beast. And we're going to talk about some expectations for the next contest and things like that. So, John, I know you really had some things you really wanted to talk about and get off your chest regarding this as well.
Yep. The first round of pictures, as we're recording this, they haven't all come in yet. But what we've seen has been I'm pretty amazed at what's come in. So good job and congrats to everyone who's competed and sent their stuff in. And I'm actually looking forward to seeing what else is to come. So this we're a little bit ahead of ourselves compared to the date that you're hearing this. So I know there's more to come, but so far it's been awesome. And the other thing I wanted to point out is at this point, and this is something we kind of learned along the way that with the guys, and you're the first round with the girls who are getting to the stage, is the concept of maintenance or what happens after a contest. So a lot of people who haven't been through one of these don't really know what to expect of themselves. Now, there are some people who have been through a transformation like Kat and Naomi who maybe already have an idea of, you know, the tricks their mind might play on them, their social life, just how it feels to be at the end of one of these things. Obviously, you have a sense of gratitude, a sense of accomplishment, a new sense of confidence. But at the same time, there could be, and I know it's happened to a few guys where they have it's something called the imposter phenomenon, where you're not really sure if this is who you are, and that are you going to go back to your old ways, and can you maintain it? And there's no reason why you can't, but part of it's the psychological trick of learning that this is another phase of an actual intervention. So, and this is one thing that I don't think this is stressed enough, that this is also an active step. So many mainstream diet books or philosophies, I don't think, put enough stress on how much of an active step this actually is. It's going to feel like less effort than the diet down, because dieting down is in direct opposition of what your body wants to do, which is to eat up to maintenance every day. So it's not going to be that every single day nagging, like you're fighting it hour by hour, but it's more of a managing your temptation and managing your accepting, saying yes or no, or how full throttle you go on various social situations and how many times you're going to go out and how many things you're going to do. Obviously, you can loosen up a lot, like way more since the contest, but you can't go to the degree that got you into the shape that you were transforming from in the first place. So if, for example, if you were the sort of person who had some weight to lose, obviously, when left unchecked, you gained weight. And that's how you ended up in a position where you needed to lose weight. So you can't go back to how you ate then. But you don't want to eat the way you ate during the contest, because that's obviously for weight loss or for losing fat. So you don't necessarily want to make as dramatic of a change, at least if this is the case you're in, if you're in a maintenance sort of period. So there's this new in-between level of eating that's to maintain the look you have and maybe slowly now progress forward, building more lean muscle mass and shaving off a little bits of fat, but at a slower rate. So this is a different stage. And this is where I had some ideas on how to manage this, like called micro dieting or nano dieting. Eat Stop Eat's a good example of like what I call a nano diet, where for 5 days of the week, you just sort of do your thing. And for 2 days of the week, you diet, which are the two fast days. So that's at its extreme sort of smallest increment, as I call it, a nano diet. But then there's other concepts of for the next, so the contest was an 84-day run in a row, 84 days in a row. But you could also look at, on a year-by-year basis, maintenance could be 84 days of the year need to be a diet day, but not in any particular order. So the two fast days per week, if you spread them out over the year, could be your 84 diet days. Or you could do one diet week a month. So you kind of just do your thing for three weeks and then have a week of dieting. Or you do a month of dieting in three separate months per year, or like the contest, three months in a row. So either way, this is a new concept. I don't know if I've mentioned it to the girls yet, but it's the idea of an 84 days of the year you diet. It's just how you just split them up however you want. And Eat Stop Eat's the most disparate way of splitting them up into these little little mini fasts and little mini diet days, I guess you could call it, is what the fast is. And then all the way up to what you just did with a contest. So it's all over the place. But to me, that's the simplest way to explain the idea of maintenance. There's still some active involvement, but it's nowhere near as intense as the contest just was. And it doesn't have to be. So that's kind of – but there has to be something. It can't just be no holds barred from here on out. Otherwise, you'll eventually just end up back to where you were. And I don't – you shouldn't perceive that as a contradiction or a what was all this for, because now if I can't just do whatever I want, I'm going to gain weight again. I mean, this is like taking an active role in the shape of your body, in your long-term health. There's no reason why that shouldn't be some effort and take some conscious decision-making. And there's no reason why you shouldn't have to take an active role in your health, because no one else is going to do it for you. And given the environment we live in, especially in modern industrialized North American societies or Western societies, everything's stacked against you. Every possible thing is stacked against you. We're really busy. We're tugged in a bunch of different directions at once. There's way too much food. It's way too cheap. It's way too tempting. Almost nobody lives a life that stimulates any kind of activity. So that's why we have to go out of our way and go to gyms and literally like a mouse in a wheel, like go run on a treadmill. Like there's the reason all of that exists is because our normal daily routine doesn't foster any kind of getting in shape. So there is an active component, and that's not a bad thing. The goal is to just minimize how much psychological and how much psychological space you actually dedicate to it. So the goal for maintenance, at least moving forward, to me should be, maintain the body you want, keep progressing at whatever rate you want with the least amount of emotional and psychological effort possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes total sense to me. I mean, the big thing about it, you and I have talked about this time and time again, in my opinion, I want to really at some point kind of go through and maybe try to kind of verify it timetable-wise and look at some things. But I think the two things that really contributed the most to, you know, obesity and people gaining weight were the invention of fast food and then the invention of the debit card, because it basically just – there are no barriers now. You can literally go get food at any time you want to.
It's so cheap.
Yeah, you don't have to hunt. There's no energy that you really have to expend. Like I could leave right now and go to Taco Bell right down the road, and I wouldn't even have to go get money. If it's after 5, I wouldn't have to go to the bank the next day to get money. Mm-hmm. You know, you just get it. It's literally instantaneous gratification, and, you know, there's nothing holding you back. So just kind of keep those things in mind, some of the things that you're kind of battling against. You know, it's really interesting. One of the strategies I saw for people, and this is a little bit off topic, but it relates. One of the strategies I saw for people that really have problems getting into debt and putting things on their credit card was that they say to put your credit card inside of a glass of water and put that water inside the freezer and let it freeze. And if you have something you want to put on your credit card, you get the glass of water out and you put it, you let it thaw out overnight. And if you still want it later on, you know, when it's thawed out, then, you know, you can get it because you've taken away that instantaneous gratification part of it. And, you know, it's something that you've actually thought about. So it's this kind of goes in within the same. No, I'm not saying put your credit card and your debit cards in your freezer and stuff like that. But, you know, just kind of keep these things in mind, you know, as you're moving forward, because it is. I mean, it's just like, you know, looking at the money in your bank account and knowing where your money is. You know, we all know what happens if you don't look at it. It gets ridiculous. You know, you can't, I mean, some people can try to keep it in their head and stuff like that, and it just ends up a mess. So, you know, it's an active thing. It's not a very tough active thing to do. I mean, it takes virtually no mental power at all to do this. You know, it just has to be done, you know, in order to keep, but that's if you want to keep what you've got.
It's kind of like brushing your teeth. There's no like actual pleasure in brushing your teeth per se. It's just the long-term benefit. It's you do it every day. You just have to brush and floss, right? Like this. So every day you kind of have to pay just a little bit of attention to what you're eating. And people are like, well, I don't want to do that. It's like, well, then the people who say that, what kind of body do you think they're going to end up with?
And you can be the other people.
Mm-hmm. So there's a cost to everything, and then there's a payoff. And then if you just sort of look to the people who seem to not pay attention to it, and just they effortlessly have it doesn't matter what everyone else has or what they do. It just matters what you do. So if you need to spend, some small percentage of the year doing some active dieting to maintain your look, well, then that's what it takes for you to maintain your look. And then there's no looking off to somebody else saying, well, how come they don't have to do is what I do? Who cares what everyone else has to do? It's what you have to do.
That's because they'll never tell you anyway.
Yeah, you don't know. There's a lot more people who seem to be the lucky ones who are in good shape who aren't the lucky ones at all. They're just not letting you see them sweat. So, I mean, everyone's got a degree of effort they put into it. Most people don't just – there's very few people who just have the body and they pay no attention to it. And even if they do, that's almost 100% an age-related thing. As they get older, especially the ones who pay no attention to it and sort of got by on youth, that runs out fast. And then at some point, they're looking back saying, yeah, I was a star athlete in high school and college, and all of a sudden I'm not anymore. And they, the effort has to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I say. I mean, but then again, it's within the same, I guess, thought process and thread. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, things still happen. I mean, you're going to go through, things in your life where it might not be perfect, and you might gain a little bit back and things and stuff like that. But the best part about all of this is that now you know exactly what you need to do to get where you need to be. We've kind of seen this in the past. I mean, I've let mine go up a little bit, for lots of reasons, really poor sleep, stuff like that. But I know, everything kind of cleaned back up, and now I'm back going back down, So things happen. You can't beat yourself up. We're all human. I mean, John's told the story about who was it, Johnny Jackson? Was it him or who was it? Or Flex?
Oh, Flex Wheeler, yeah, the bodybuilder who, crushed the pizza night before his show and ate a huge pizza. Yeah, so it's just an ebb and flow. It's the idea of maintaining what we've called striking distance. So you just stay really close, but you don't have to be bang on your numbers all the time. If it's a matter of the effort versus the return.
Mm-hmm.
So as the effort, if the effort you're putting in goes up towards the refining your final look more and more, if the ratio, I guess you could say, of mental, physical, psychological effort hits a point where the return isn't coming fast enough, or it's too cumbersome that you're just like, okay, I like the way I look, but it's not worth pushing it another, tightening up that much more. So it's up to you to decide what you want to do with it. And maybe once a year you push it. Maybe once a year you do a contest, just once a year, and you're like, once every three or four, once every 18 months, it's like, I really feel like pushing it hard for 8 to 10 weeks or something like that. But it kind of keeps you honest. So it's up to you what you want to do with it. But I guess the overriding message is, if left unchecked, if you tend to drift away from tend to drift from your VI numbers, then you know that at some point you need active correction. You need to steer the ship back towards it every now and then. So the less distance you let it drift away, the simpler the correction is.
Mm-hmm.
And then that comes back to my concept of micro diets and mini diets and nano diets by, I guess what we never thought of with Eat Stop Eat was that's really what that is. It's just you drift away, you come back literally 2 days later, you just throw in a fast and you've corrected that drift.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a bad thing that we drift. It's literally the environment we in fosters it, and the people who are around you, and people. Olya was just talking in her blog about pushback from people. We're surrounded. You gotta remember, we're in the minority here. We're this small group of people who get the fact that diet and fitness isn't all the nonsense that everyone else thinks it is. It's just hard work, and it's moving more, and it's eating less, and it's just being it's just paying attention. Like, that's all it is. But it's a lot of attention when you're doing it for 12 weeks, and most people don't want to ever put that effort in. So you're going to be surrounded by people tugging you in every different direction and telling you it's unhealthy and all of this nonsense. And you just that's part of the drift. So most of it's not even you. Most of it's your environment, your social situations, the people you're surrounded by. Like, could you imagine If it was just all of us, everyone you know on the forum, bunch of all the Adonis guys, you know, me and Brad, and if those are the only people you saw on a daily basis, like everyone in your life was all like us, do you think you'd ever drift, or do you think you'd stay really close all the time? Everyone's on board.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if 2 or 3 days go by and we all kind of notice, hey, we've been off track, then we'd all go hit up a workout. We'd all tighten up for a couple of days. Like, it's everyone would be on the same side, right? But it's just in your life, it's no one's on your side when it comes to this sort of stuff. So it's kind of that's where that kind of drift comes from, I guess you could say.
Yeah. The one unfortunate thing that comes from a lot of stuff that you have to be aware of is, I mean, you may lose some people at the same time, and it might be a necessary evil. You know, I've it's happened to me, you know, in the past, you know, where there are lots of people now that I used to hang out with all the time that I just don't anymore. And it's just kind of a natural progression. You know, as you grow, you kind of outgrow that certain people and you know, some of the negative energy and things that are around them. And like I said, I know it sounds bad, but again, we don't really try to sugarcoat anything. I mean, it is what it is, but you just
and you'll recognize the ones that sort of need to be
sure
spent less time around. And but what that does is open up opportunity for you to have a new, more positive person in that space. I mean, humans in general are just more attached or more afraid of a loss than excited about a new beginning. But the new beginnings is where you do a lot of your growth. And holding on to old things that maybe aren't the healthiest thing, you can waste years doing that. So
yeah.
And it doesn't mean you ditch people. It just means maybe you don't engage them in conversations about diet or fitness anymore, or you don't engage them in certain things that you've recognized are deleterious to your diet and fitness lifestyle. So you're like, you recategorize how you spend time with them, or maybe you take the reins. You're like, yeah, we can spend time with, I'll spend time with that person, but only if it's out for a walk, or only if it's, you know, only if we're not going for, you know, a night of drinks that I know I'm going to regret later. Like, you know, various things that you redefine how you want things to go, and then they have to take it or leave it.
Yeah.
And
charge.
Because most people don't. Yeah, most people don't have a goal. Most people are just kind of letting the waves of life push them around. They're not really steering their ship at all, right? So if you even more ironic, or I don't know if that's the right word, the minute you pick a goal and move towards it, everyone starts throwing rocks and arrows at you. It's like people are such I hold my tongue on this one, but it's not cool. Like, as long as you're not making a stand and not doing anything and you're just going with the flow like everyone else is, you're fine. The minute you take a stand and try anything, even things that are very positive, I mean, everyone's already experiencing it. Just get ready to be criticized.
Yeah.
That's just BS. That's just weakness on their part.
Yeah, it comes with the territory. Trust me. I know. I mean, we get emails all the time coming in support. There's some awful stuff that gets said, and it just blows my mind. But again, on the other side, you know, we've got such great people inside, you know, all, you know, in the forums and communities and things like that, who are really getting results. So I know what's happening. You know, you've got your haters, and then you've got the people who are going to come along and play ball. And it's one of those things where you've now chosen to not ride the middle anymore. You've actually kind of picked a side. And by you picking a side, that means there's people on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of have
– and a lot of people on the other side, because very few people choose the side you've just chosen.
Sure. So, just realize that.
Yeah, that's why you're getting results, and that's why you're kind of standing out in the crowd a little bit. And even if the crowd's just your closer circle of friends and people you interact with on a daily basis, most people are going to notice. And I mean, no one cares when you gain 50 or 60 pounds, but everyone – you lose 20 and everyone thinks you're anorexic or that you're sick or something's wrong.
Oh, yeah. I saw the one guy. I tell this story all the time. Saw the guy in what was the name of this restaurant? It was a Golden Corral back when I was traveling. I think it was in Indianapolis at the time. This guy had to be 500-600 pounds, huge. And he actually had a woman feeding him food and kept going back and going back. And nobody said anything. And I was like, we sat there and just, you know, he was there when we got there and he was there when we left.
And I think that's fair. Like, I'm libertarian the whole way, so I don't care what people do. If it's what their choice is,
sure,
it doesn't hurt anybody else, knock yourself out.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
But it offends me when someone stands up and tries to steer you away from something you've chosen to do that for yourself, which is to lose weight. Like, of all the things to criticize or get in shape, and people are like, well, how far are you taking this? Well, who the hell are they to even bring that up or direct your attention to the idea that you might be taking it too far? So it's just none of people's business, but they end up making it their business.
Yeah, like I said, it's an interesting area you're going to be in. Just be prepared. I saw a really funny comment in the Adonis side today. One of the guys, Mark Levy, who you'll see pictures of coming up, he
looks ridiculous.
Yeah, he looks ridiculous again, but even more ridiculous.
When I say ridiculous, I mean that's good, right?
Yeah.
Just qualifying what I meant by ridiculous.
We sound like Beavis and Butthead. Yeah.
All right.
No, but he was saying that even now to this day, he's got people coming up to him and asking him stuff, and he just doesn't want to talk to it anymore because nobody wants to hear the real reason. He said, you know, I've honestly thought about just telling them a bunch of BS just so they'll leave me alone and so I can make a buck or two. And it was funny, but he was like, I'm just too honest.
And you know what the interesting thing is, anyone who's gone through a change here and you didn't have to hit your VI numbers this time around. All you had to do is progress to prove to yourself what it actually takes to progress. Now you have the secret. Mm-hmm. And the secret is there is no secret. But that's the biggest secret of all.
Yeah.
And everyone around you, and we already know, people won't even believe what the answer is.
Yeah, because everybody thinks there's a secret.
So the worst part of it all is you actually know what the real answer is, and you can't tell it to anybody.
Or you can. You can be completely honest, but nobody will believe you anyway.
That's my point. Yeah. No one will believe you. So like telling it to anyone is almost pointless. So it's just – my point is that it's pointless.
Yeah.
So it's just – like it's how – I don't know if that's – I don't know if sad, pathetic. I don't know what that is, the statement about people. But I mean that – you know it, and you all you can really do is keep it to yourself, because like it gets you mostly nowhere when you tell it to anybody, and then the worst part is when you know it, you kind of see people and you sort of feel for them and you want to help them and your kind of heart goes out to them and you actually see them genuinely struggling and like you know being depressed about their bodies, maybe even a bit of self-loathing, and you're like I know how to fix this, I know what it takes. And if you say it to them, they'll be like, oh, that's not it. You know, that's not going to help. And then you're just like, yes, but it does. And that's how all it takes. And then they won't believe you. And you're like, I can't believe this. I actually know how this works. And there's nothing I have the secret and no one wants to know about it. And so you'll eventually end up with just a quiet confidence that you're kind of walking in the crowds of people. And you're like, well, I know this and nobody else know this. And there's nothing I can really – there's nothing I can do. I can't really tell them. I just kind of keep it to myself. And every now and then a willing student is one of my phrases will come along and they'll absorb it all and take it and run with it. And they'll appreciate the hell out of you for showing them it. And but other than those people, there's the vast majority. Well, you can hand them the answer and they'll just hand it right back to you and say, nope.
Well, nothing you
can do about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you notice the way we kind of handle our just overall community base, it's kind of how we are as well. I mean, we focus most of our time inside the communities, and even when we do, you know, we do some engagement on the blog, but not very much because, you know, a lot of the people that are on the blogs are just kind of floundering around, not willing to do anything, but everybody that's in the community is ready to rock, and so that's where we spend our time.
And a lot, yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, even... I'm drawing a bit more from the experience on the guy's side. It's you. I think the girls are a bit less arrogant than the guys, or a bit less skeptical. Because we've had guys. I mean, you should see some of the guys this time around. I mean, the pictures will be available. They're not going to be hidden behind any walls or anything. But some of these guys, best shape of their lives, and they admitted that even after finding our program and listening to all the podcasts and buying into this, like understanding that, yeah, you guys make perfect sense, some of these guys still strayed from our program, went and tried to do the bulk thing, got fat, then cut down and be like, yeah, you're right, you guys are right, I was wrong, or those other, but they still, I mean, they had to go and fail once more. Like they just couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe what we were saying is true. So they had to go out and sort of fall over again and stub their toe again and then be like, oh yeah, that's right, they weren't lying.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's just, I don't know why they have to keep proving it to themselves that way, but I guess
it's kind of like the immersion. You know how we talk about immersion and talk about why listening to the podcast is so important. And you'll see. I've already made my prediction of who's, you know, going to win, or you know, what happened. And we haven't seen everything come in yet, but so far so good. But you know, that's the thing. The only thing you can do is immerse yourself in what we're thinking to battle the absolute immersion about what's going on everywhere else. You know,
and yeah, for the few hours a week you're doing our workout and then buzzing around on our forums and listening to our stuff, you've got the hundred other hours of the week where you're immersed in the rest of the environment that's telling you the opposite. So it's, even if you're the most active person in our forum and listen to all the podcasts, you're still spending the minority of the minority of your time understanding our concepts, and the majority of your time being
exposed to other stuff.
Yeah, being showered with all the other nonsense is. So it's still we live it every day, so we're kind of, to me, I feel like we sound like broken records, but it seems as though what we say is sort of necessary to repeat constantly. So
yeah, like I say, it's not we're not insulting anyone or saying anybody sucks or anything like that. As far as if you're listening by any means at all, I mean, we get it. That's why we're talking about it. We understand where you're coming from and things like that, but just know that, you know, there are two different types of people that are listening to this right now. There are people that are getting results and doing it in the communities, and then, you know, there are other people who are here, you know, maybe for the first time, maybe for the, you know, 10th time, trying to listen and see if this is something for them. And, you know, you're going to see. It's going to be for you. And it's really funny because each of the blogs, they don't get very many comments, but the communities are explosive. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a whole thread in each community on the blog posts. So you don't even see all the good comments.
if you're not in the community, yeah, no.
Yeah, you don't even see. I mean, the blog hardly gets the comments. All the comments are in the community, which is really, really interesting. I never thought about that when we set it up that way. But just
sort of turned into that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we kind of went all over the place there. So the next contest starts in 4 weeks. I don't know the exact date, but we'll post.
May 13th, I think.
13th, like that. All right. So anyways, it's somewhere within a day or two of the 15th, 13th. But we'll post it. I know we have it somewhere on file. We'll post it. For those of you who feel that you want to just roll right through from one contest to another, just spend the next 4 weeks exploring maintenance mode and then gear back up for the next contest. Or just keep pushing it. I mean, we've seen that on the guy's side. We've seen multiple people go one contest straight to the next, and that's where we've had some of our biggest changes. So, that's definitely an opportunity if you want to continue going, for anyone who's felt like they want to move just straight from one contest into the other. We haven't even reviewed the submission. So when we do have winners, we'll contact everybody. We want to interview everybody who wins. Winning meaning just placing. And then on top of that, we have. I had an idea. I'm going to talk about the calendar thing just as a just blue sky like thinking here. We had an idea like a while ago of eventually doing some kind of Venus calendar.
Or Venus index calendar. Let's not jump all over trademarks for the.
Oh,
other.
Sorry, Venus index calendar. So yeah. our thought was maybe one day as we accumulate winners, that you move to a next level. So only people who win or come in the top three are qualified to compete in the level two. So you kind of, the competition gets tight right away. So the concept of the open will eventually move, and we're still hashing this out on the guys' side too. But the idea is it's not necessarily fair for seasoned veterans, let's say, to continually compete in the same open class and beat younger or novice people who haven't had as much chance. So just like real competitions or offline, whatever competitions, you work your way up. You go level one, two, and three, and then you're pro. We were thinking, and we're in the preliminary stages of thinking of doing that for this community, where winners or top three only compete against other top threes. So obviously we need a few contests to accumulate a pool of level two people. And then from there, level twos who win go on to level three. And it's kind of like you'd get your Venus index card sort of. So to mimic the way that the pattern works in real competition, just to give people more to shoot for, like, and to try to make it fair. It only makes sense that people who've placed in the open, you know, they've stepped their game up, and if they want to step it up further, then it makes sense that you only compete against other people who've placed. Yeah. And that also gives other people opportunities to move up to the open and not feel like, oh my God, I'm competing against people I just don't think I can catch for a couple of years.
Right. And then with that being said, again, transitioning into the calendar.
Oh, yeah. The calendar. Our thought was, sorry. Yeah, I didn't
screwed the pooch on that one, dude.
Yeah, totally. I wanted feedback on this. Now, this was just my thought, but again, this is like guys thinking. So maybe this is like, I don't know if this is even like offensive or if this sounds like cool, but some of the pictures that have come in were really creative, and it seems like you just kind of ran with it. At least some people who've already done their picks. So our idea was potentially having a weekend where the winners we go and do like a pro photo shoot, because I have some friends I used to work with who are professional fitness photographers, and do a weekend maybe somewhere where I don't know where the location would be. I'm assuming it would have to be Caribbean just because the lighting works out right down there, and actually do like a weekend photo shoot, and we come up with our own like Venus Index calendar, and then all of the Venus girls become, you know, I guess calendar models for a calendar that we would do like on an annual basis. So it's just another thought. I'd appreciate some feedback whether or not people think that's cool or if they think that's just like pointless or too much.
Yeah. I think it's
cool, but
yeah, I think it'd be fun. I mean, but again, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, we've had plenty of ideas.
It wouldn't be much different than if we flew our photographer friend down to Vegas with us this weekend, and we just grabbed a location in Vegas somewhere and knocked out like an afternoon of photo shoots, and we'd have this year's calendar ready. But we never got around to even, this was an idea I've had for a while, but I didn't think it would be anything we'd be ready for this year. So, but in the coming years, it could be something. And, you know, we were even thinking of doing levels where we actually have like a trophy people get to.
Yeah, yeah. It might be such that we're maybe a year away.
Yeah, I think so.
From some, not the trophies, but from calendar stuff. So this is something we've been thinking about for a while. This isn't something we just thought about the other day. We've thought about this ever since Venus came around of doing
before I even built the product. This was like one of my, like, we were already thinking of how to like do like a reward or something interesting, something more interesting than just a typical B&A contest. I was like, well, what about a photo shoot? Like, because I think everybody wants to experience what it's like to be on the cover of a magazine. At least people who are doing diet and fitness stuff and actually getting in shape. I think people want to know what it's like to go all the way, like actually end up in a kind of a pro photo shoot and see what they would look like on the cover of a magazine. It's kind of the logical conclusion of this all. It's not to become a pro and win a show. It's to just go through that, sort of be the center of attention on camera there for a while. And it's something that we did a lot of – it's something we were involved in when I worked at the supplement company, so it kind of seemed – it was just obvious. Like people – we saw it a lot, and a lot of people competed, so it was sort of, oh, yeah, you're doing a photo show. Good for you. And it was I guess I come from an odd background where that's not unusual to know people who've done it or to be involved in them and help out in photo shoots and getting people on stage and stuff. So it's not foreign to me, so, but it's exciting for people, so it's, yeah, you know, this is a less intimidating way for it to arise.
Yeah, I mean, we're all about kind of facilitating dreams. I don't know if we've talked about it on this side as much as we have on the guy's side, but you know, when it comes around, obviously we've got the ambassador status, which means that you don't have to pay for anything ever again if you win. Which is awesome. That also gives you really cool powers inside the community, such that you can, you know, it's kind of like moderator status, but, you know, cooler. But the, you know, other than that, it also gives you the ability to kind of take what we teach and actually make a career out of it if you want to. And we haven't talked about that a lot, but we're starting to do that on the guy's side, where a lot of people are now starting to get questions and things like that from other people and finding their own clients and stuff like that. So, you know, obviously we want to help provide, you know, the backbone for that if you guys wanted. And then on the other side, going back to the calendar, I mean, we already know that we've got a lot of people who are aspiring, you know, fitness and bikini models. that it's just starting to come out of the woodwork, not because they're submitting pictures, but just through conversations. And some just don't participate in the forums, but they've, you know, been a part of the community and things like that. But so those people are out there as well. And so, again, some people have dreams of teaching and coaching and taking things to the next level because they've seen what it's done for them. Some people have dreams of actually, you know, kind of showing off their body of work, you know, no pun intended. So it, you know,
whatever, pun completely intended.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I need to start doing that. I always say no pun intended when I really do. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the next thing for us is, you know, I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to, you know, facilitate, you know, people's dreams and help them out. So
it's fun. Just most people's lives just go by day by day and not much is sort of going on. This sort of stuff's fun to be involved in.
Well, yeah, because it's not lame.
Well, no, how cool would it be if you know, in the next month or so, we figure out the date for the calendar shoot, and then that's what everyone's shooting for next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all fly down somewhere and do this shoot for a weekend. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, if we don't come up with it, then it's just an idea, and it just sort of fades away. But it's something that it could happen. So it's,
yeah,
you know, just like this. But all of this, Matt, all of this only, I mean, these are just ideas. It all requires you guys to do it. Like, we can offer it, but we need like people to put the effort in and make a change and show up and be the stars of the show, so to speak. It's not really us.
Yeah, of course not. We just need a reason to get out of the house.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah. I mean, let me say it another way around. It's completely about us, but we just need a lot of support for our ideas. That's really what's going on here.
Yeah, yeah, we're totally
This is actually always about me specifically. Actually,
well, yeah, I knew that from the get go.
Yeah,
it's the Barbin show. That's why Pilon. Yeah, that's why Pilon never comes on.
Mm-hmm. So let's. I'm not even gonna pretend like this isn't about me. But I do need like a lot of help here. So that's because this is me asking for help.
Are you trying to redeem yourself from last week?
Oh man. Hey, you know what? In my defense, a lot of people didn't know what it was.
Oh, I knew. I knew they weren't gonna know what it was.
And the Urban Dictionary description's kind of graphic too. So if you, I mean. Look that up, maybe.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh god, that was still funny. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, hey, every once in a while, you know, we get our shot to take some punches at you. So.
Oh man.
All right. Well,
they're few and far between.
Exactly. That's why I keep telling people they got to start like Mike Tyson's punch out. Just get in there and start hammering away at you because they're just so far and few between. You got to get your shot in.
Just find out what the pattern is, right?
Exactly. So. Yep. All right. Well, you got anything else?
No, that's pretty good.
All right. Cool. All right. So I guess that's it. You know, as you're listening to this, I'm in Vegas and
yeah, I'm
Barbin's either. Are you in Vegas? Or are you coming back?
Leaving this evening.
Leaving. So yeah. So we're going to have some good stuff coming this week. Some, hopefully some winners announced if we can, be nice, but, I guess for John Barbin, I'm Brad Howard, and that's your Venus Index podcast.